Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio. Enter search and put in We Talk Productions and go to Provocative Thought and listen to this show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization, the Mulatto, Light Skin, and the Black Man. It is said that people of mixed race, black and white, and people with light skin have a certain privilege, preference, or favor of the dominant culture since the institution of slavery in North America. Is it because of their light skin, their biological connection to their white masters, or are they simply that much better than the other slaves or darker black population? Was this the train of thought psychologically embedded in the minds of the slave and their descendants? How did it impact on them and their descendants? See, this slavery or captivity teach black captives that whiteness and power are synonymous, that being powerful is to be like the one who has power over life and death, land, resources, in this case, including blacks. Did the light-skinned brothers and sisters get favorable treatment, thus facilitating an environment for them to be more successful? Did it build their self-esteem, give them a light at the end of the tunnel? Is black beautiful? It certainly isn't privileged. So, just give you a couple of definitions of some terms. So, mulatto. The word mulatto is sometimes it's offensive. It's a first generation offspring of a black and a white person. Now, it's mixed with black and white ancestry. It's a mulatto. They say is a racial slur or social. Or is it a racial slur or socially acceptable? Most linguists agree that the word mulatto comes from the Spanish or Portuguese word for mule, which is written the same way but pronounced mule. Now, knowing what a mule is, a cross between a horse and a donkey, the comparison is quite ugly. Most academics that have studied the origin of the word are quite certain that that word has its roots in Spain, a prominent role in slave trade, and their need to brand people based on the amount of white European blood running through their veins. There are some people that began the custom of patting the tightly curled afros of black children because it supposedly brought good luck, and we would have a whole lot of luck. We wouldn't be in the condition that we've been in, going through, and headed to this day, if that was possible. I'm gonna keep moving along. The tragic from the film Dear White People, the tragic mulatto was, and it sometimes still is, portrayed as a character of mixed ancestry whose personal identity is unresolved because they are a white world and a black world, neither of which fully understands or accepts them. Now, you got these other terms for people that I never heard of. I'm just going to go through them real quick. A griff was a racial classification like a mulatto or a quadroon, a person who is one quarter black by descent. It never had a very precise definition, but generally referred to a black slave with a lighter brown skin, but not so light as a mulatto, implying less than 50% white ancestry, but more than zero white ancestry. But I don't even understand that. Anyway, and it goes into the different. The quadroon was a half mulatto and half white, or one fourth black. And an octoroon was a child of a quadroon and a white. So there. Blood was one-fourth black at most. Oftentimes, any black blood in a person's lineage was enough to identify them as black or a slave. A griff was a half black and a half mulatto, so they were at least three-fourths black. Katra was a half griff and a half black. It goes on with some other stuff. It goes down to the Sambo was a word for a child of a mulatto and a black, or a griff child. So it was often the case for those individuals who were 32nd black or less to pass for white, but at the time of the slave rebellion in Haiti, many plantation owners called for any person with any black heritage to be killed. So they say Haiti had a revolt down there. Oh, Toussaint and his gang, and they went to killing anything that had black blood in it. So assholes. You had a drop of black blood. Your great grandfather was black, or mother. They were killing you down there at that time, at the time of this revolt. This illustrates that not only the fear of whites in the book, but their racism too. As blacks outnumber whites 10-1 in Haiti, this was a sign of the French planters' operation. Mulattoes in the world of slavery. Now, some people say mulattoes had it better because they were favored by the slave owner. And this writer is saying that mulattoes are, contrary to what one might believe, the lives of these mulattoes, as they were termed, were in fact just as treacherous, if not much so, as any other black slaves. So they were targeted. They were often looked upon with contempt by their mistresses. See, because the white slave master would make more slaves with the black slave woman. And the mistress would hate them, you know, and the child. And sometimes white mistress would surmise that there is an intimacy between the slave woman and the master, and perhaps she would make a great fuss and have her whipped, and perhaps there will be no peace until she is sold. So, you know, that's never good to be whipped and sold, you know, especially if you've already been in captivity. A mulatto child suffered cruel treatment by the jealous wife simply because he was the offspring of a white father who probably looked at him as no more than property. Some incidents did occur in which the father felt some love toward the mulatto children, but these were not common, and rarely did he ever grant freedom for them during his lifetime. That's a rare situation right there. As an enslaved woman, one almost always had to watch out for sexual advances by her male master. That's light skin, dark skin. That's everybody, right? However, the mulatto woman was particularly sought out after by the white men. White men desired to buy them and use them as concubines. So, that which commands admiration in the white woman only hastens the degradation in the female slave. The practice of slave-owning men taking carnal advantage of their mulatto slaves only led to more mulatto children, causing a terrible chain reaction for mixed slave women. So they was catching it, because those white masters' mistresses were giving it to them. So while the blood of the mulatto child ran through both black and white descent, as far as most southern whites were concerned, it was purely black. These mixed children would learn in adolescence what made them different and often more hated than the average black slave, and they would spend the rest of their lives enduring punishment for something that they had no control over. Moreover, mulatto women often come to the same fate as their mother, securing the same inevitable life for their children. So it appears that the female slave is the target of rape to procreate more slaves. Mulatto or mix of female slaves. Here we can observe the attraction to the mulatto female slave, yet female of a darker hues were subjected to the same degradation. That's how the mulatto came about. Some slave masters gave the mulatto offspring preferential treatment, like working in the house, not in the field. It was illegal for the slave masters to show preference toward a mulatto slave. Mulattoes received more favorable treatment than their darker brothers and sisters caused problems within their families. You hear that? Mulattoes that received more favorable treatment than their darker brothers and sisters caused problems within their families. Did being treated differently influence light-skinned people of African descent to feel different, privileged, feel better, even within their own family? Did it influence African peoples of the darker hue to feel that there was something about those light-skinned people that was to be desired, favored, because they were desired or favored by those Europeans who brutally dominated both light and dark-skinned peoples? Did this favoritism, to whatever degree, create a divide in the black community? Have some black parents, caretakers, uncles, aunts, grandparents, etc., show favoritism toward their lighter-skinned child, relative, friend, or stranger? There are documented stories about that. Do people desire to seek? Do people desire to or seek to imitate, desire to be like those who are in power, successful, feared? Does the absence of these attributes and conditions of degradation facilitate the attraction? Europeans are not in power because of their pale skin, fine hair, and blue or whatever color eyes. They are not in power because they are better than other peoples. If it were that easy, China, 1.31 billion people, India, 1.25 billion people, Africa, 1 billion, would rule the planet. Europeans make up about roughly 18%. They say it might even be lower than that now, the world population. But that's another story. What happened to Black is Beautiful? Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And, of course, black power. Certainly, there is less power in division. We can all agree to that. Can we? From the root, biracial is a term used to describe someone of a so-called mixed race in contemporary times. I'm just going to say that. Biracial is a term used to describe someone of so-called mixed race in contemporary times. Even today, biracial is not a legal racial identity. It's a pop culture identity. The concept of the biracial identity popped up in the mainstream sometime in the late 80s and early 90s. Halle Berry, a recent comment in Ebony magazine, asked if her daughter, Nala, is African-American. And she said, I feel like she's black. I'm black, and I'm her mother, and I believe in the one-drop theory. So, you know, that we talked about that. If you have a drop of blood, you black. A drop of black blood, you black. So that's what Halle Berry said. And if you don't know, I think Halle Berry, one of her parents might be Caucasian, you know, so. And the other one, African-American. To be mixed allows people to remove themselves from the discriminatory world of blackness. So that is the biracial term, trying to create another category that says, hey, I'm not them. I'm not you, but I'm not them. And maybe I'm like, you know, you don't have to treat me the way you treat them because I'm different. Treat anybody, if you treat anybody with respect, you don't even have this problem. But this color thing seems to have stemmed from the institution of slavery, not just in this country, just the institution of slavery, period. With the Africans, the North American, African, what's that, the transatlantic slavery? Yeah, because they had slavery before, and it wasn't based on this, all you dark skin and you're a slave and, you know, things like that. And the darker you are, the lighter you are, the better you are, or I'm going to treat you a little better because you're lighter or anything like that. Slavery wasn't based on that centuries before the transatlantic slave trade. But these Europeans used slavery to use color to justify enslaving the from the continent. So the concept of biracial popped up in the mainstream in the early 80s and the 90s. So this author says, my experience is being black in America as someone who has endured incalculable amounts of racism. I was never looked at as a half and half slash. Moreover, once I understood race, I was never confused or had racial identity issues. I knew I was black, so I did, and so did my family. So apparently this is a person that may have some European ancestry, direct European ancestry. As we know, many blacks in the United States probably have European ancestry due to the slave, mass slave, you know, raping and things like that of our ancestors here. Some don't. Okay, so why do we need to talk about light skin privilege? So, white supremacy is pervasive. Colorism, or this is from Jordy Day's featured article for Newsflash Politics. He says white supremacy is pervasive. Colorism, or the systemic preference for individuals of color who have a lighter skin tone is as old as slavery itself and was used to evaluate black people during slavery. It is a stalwart component of structural racism that has permeated the black community ever since the divisive concept of the house slave and the field slave. We are socialized to believe that light is all right. So, colorism has driven black American beauty standards for centuries. For example, paper bag tests has also been found to be a determinant of life chances in larger society. Individuals with lighter skin tones have a higher socioeconomic status, have shorter prison sentences, are less likely to be punished in school. Colorism has real consequences. Thus, we must address colorism works in our everyday lives, our activism, and our advocacy work. So he's saying that colorism is something that something that exists amongst all people of color, and that this colorism has impacted on our thinking and how we view ourselves in terms of, you know, starting from the slave days when we had the guy, you know, working in the house because he's light skinned, he's getting a little, you know, he got a little dressed a little different than me, you know, got a little more than I have, and so forth like that. So did slavery kind of like facilitate that division between dark skin and lighter skin peoples in captivity, which might still exist today? What do you think, listen, audience? Ronald Hall from the Observer said, and this is interesting right here. This is right on top of the day. He said during a recent interview, Golden State Warriors Draymond Green discussed why players around the league have long doubted or dismissed the talents of his superstar teammate, Steph Curry, right? That's the guy that shoots from the half court about almost. But it was Green's last point mentioned almost as an aside. Of course, he said this is what this guy's saying. Draymond Green said, of course, Steph is light-skinned, so players want to make him out to be soft. So, do we have this divide with us, that we see light-skinned people softer? I'm going back to slavery, the light-skinned slave didn't work in the field, so he's not doing the hard work, right? So that's a strong slave that's working in that field. You got to be strong to work in that field, or it's going to kill you. Kill you at a young age. And he's doing the light work, so you're doing the easy work, so you soft. So did that kind of concept kind of just trickle down to even today with the idea that, oh, the light-skinned brothers are soft and the dark-skinned brothers who had to do the hard, you know, the harder work on the slave plantation, they're tougher, you know, did it? Because it sounds like it kind of trickled down, maybe even floodgated down, I don't know, you know. So in a book, we have a book called To The Last Taboo Among African Americans. It is for how African Americans within their community grappled with prejudice that stem from their various shades of skin colors. If you're black, depending on the shade of your skin, other black people might think of you as high yellow or red bone, a white wannabe, or just not black enough. So, you know, seem like we have certain people have expressed, issue with, you know, lighter skinned people. And it was a time when I remember when you called somebody black, that was offensive, you know. You called somebody black, you know, that was like a bad word, you know. So he said, this guy goes on to say, for example, black athletes might treat Curry. He talked about Curry again, too. I didn't even know this happened to recently. Curry differently on the court because of his light skin, guarding him more physically or trying to goad him into fighting. But they'll really acknowledge the issue in public, as Draymond Green did. So he's commending Draymond Green for even saying that. You know, that people are a little hard on Steph because they think he's soft because he's light-skinned. So I don't know if one of his parents are black or white, or he's just light-skinned. I don't know. So the Los Angeles, they said that Kobe Bryant instructed his lighter-skinned teammate Jordan Clarkson to go to the hole like a dark-skinned dude. So, you know, so apparently there's a softness associated with the lighter skin hue African-Americans. That doesn't make that so, you know, so because we got Huey P. Newton with light skin. He was one of the co-founders of the Black Panther Party, and they stood up against the racist Los Angeles Police Department. And, you know, were later taken down by the racist FBI department. Anyway, that's another story. So, and he was light-skinned brother. There was nothing soft about him. Muhammad Ali ain't the darkest person on the planet. You know, he was a heavyweight boxer, and you know what he went through in the ring. Rosa Parks was a light-skinned sister. You know, she it took a lot not to get up out of that seat for a white man. Back in those days when it was hanging on black folks and taking pictures with them, you know, and people weren't being convicted of murdering all black folks back in those days. Rosa Parks didn't get up out of her seat. That takes Malcolm X wasn't a dark-skinned brother. So do light-skinned brothers have to prove themselves to dark-skinned people in the African-American? Do we have that problem? Anybody want to comment on that? Is that something we have? Are light-skinned sisters are viewed as more desirable? As, you know, we saw, you know, as described to us in the times of captivity in this country where they were breeded, and I guess it breeded for to be concubines for white masters. You know, not that they didn't take dark or women for concubines either, but it seems like there was a focus on these mulattoes, lighter skinned mulattoes. I'm assuming anybody from a mixed marriage, born of a white parent and a black parent, I'm assuming everybody has come out light skinned. I'm, you know, depending on, you know, situation, you know. So I'm sure there's some brown skin or some darker skinned people born of white parents. So, and, you know, so were white people attracted to them because of their lighter skin and didn't show them a little favor, or did they feel connected to them because of the lighter skin? Because they feel connected, they're not connected enough to make them free, just enough to rape them. So I don't know. But in many different cultures, this is from Dark Skin versus Light Skin, The Battle of Colorism in the Black Community by Jaleel Campbell. Said in many different cultures around the world, skin color plays a huge role in the concept of beauty. Lighter skin is often preferable to darker skin. African Americans self-hate toward each other because of one's skin color. So, you know, do we hate, you know, because I wonder, you know, do we hate being dark? Frequent sightings of dark-skinned people portrayed negatively in the media is heavily exploited, while light-skinned or non-black individuals, I guess that means dark individuals, are portrayed more positively, or that means white, non-black, white. So, okay, so, you know, so that's that whole Western concept about black is bad, white is good. You know, in the East, white is death. Here, black is death. You were black to the funeral. In the East, they were white in a funeral. White represents death. So, you know, that's a cultural thing right there. But that's what we're talking about. And somebody, you know, the comment that some people might say that you're pretty for someone who's dark-skinned or pretty for a black girl. What's that mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to say, like, because somebody's skin is It's dark. They can't be fine. Do I have any brothers listening to this? Because that makes no sense to me, you know. Oh, we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, good evening, Carl.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
This is Keith. And listeners, I think there is an issue with color, even in our community. Just like you were saying, someone was saying something earlier in the week about Beyonce doing as well as she did because of her complexion.
Right, I didn't get to that. I was going to mention that. That's right.
Oh, okay. I'm cutting in on your
story.
Yeah,
that's right. That's correct. Right.
But I can kind of see that. Seems like that.
So
and,
you think she was able to do what she did just because she's, is she that light? Because I didn't think she was. She's not a dark skinned person, but you know. But
yeah,
isn't she talented? I mean, is it? Huh?
I agree. I think she's talented. He was saying that things might have been different because if she
things might have been different if she was a real dark girl, right? Like, what's the
right.
lady's name? Used to be a beauty pageant winner. Her name is what's her name?
Kenya Moore.
Yeah, Kenya Moore. Yeah, Kenya Moore.
Yeah, but I don't know what talent she had though. What did she do?
Well, I don't know what talent she had. I'm just saying she's pretty.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she can't sing and dance like and act like Beyonce can.
Right.
So I said, so Beyonce's a talented person, but they said that her light skinnedness helped her. I think she took a picture. She was on some magazine, and they lightened her up a little bit. Also.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They do that with everybody.
You know.
That's what I'm
saying. Okay. Oh, they do it with everybody.
Yeah, even like
lighten who up?
Some people, they kind of they lighten them up.
Wait, who people?
Even brown skin people. Like if you see some
right.
people who are brown skin, you see them some places they look brown, but when they start to get popular or something like that, it seemed like to me
right.
they all of a sudden seem lighter now than they did like maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
So are you talking about
like
in real life or on a magazine?
Both, really.
Oh, so in real life now you're talking about bleaching, and I didn't get to that yet. But they said Nicki Minaj has gotten, since you mentioned that, Nicki Minaj has gotten a little lighter since she's became more popular. Is that right? Because I don't really follow her.
I don't follow her either.
Oh, okay. Well, I read that. You know, they said she's become more light skinned. You know, since she's
mm-hmm.
become popular. We know Michael Jackson had, change. His skin changed from brown
right.
to, you know, white-skinnedness. And they say he had some kind of impetigo or something like that. Not impetigo.
Right.
What do you call that? Ilego something. Some kind of skin disorder which you know, caused his skin to lose pigmentation. So I don't know if he did something just to level it all out or, you know, or not, and ended up the way you look at, you know,
right.
the way that he ended, you know. I don't know what happened. So I didn't follow exactly what happened to him. I just saw the changes different, you know, as time went on. But, you know, he's another one. He's talented. He's
mm-hmm.
a very talented individual, again, because you say, I mean, because it's just being light-skinned in this, I guess, maybe just give you a edge, maybe. Maybe it's possible, you know what I mean? It's been giving people an edge even in slavery. I mean, they were still slaves, they were still sold, they were still raped, but they still had a slight edge over that dark-skinned slave. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So I could see that being light-skinned is giving a person an edge even today. Now, they talked about actress Viola Davis. Now, she's a dark-skinned woman. And she's pretty
yeah.
dark skin, and she said as a child, she too felt the pain of being called an assortment of derogatory terms, and she shared how she began to believe that she was ugly. You know,
yeah.
she's a successful actress.
Wow.
You know, and she, you know, she's dark skinned. See, I mean, she's everywhere. She was in that movie with the Fresh Prince, with the, there was some kind of people that kill people. What's that thing? Suicide Squad. She was in that. She was in Ray. Yeah, she had some TV show. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Sidney Poitier was the dark skinned brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. I mean, he did pretty well.
You know what though?
So
what up, like in regards to like acting and, you know, showbiz, I think when people first start out, maybe they don't get as much attention as other people do. So maybe their makeup isn't done as it could be. Maybe they don't get the particular lighting. I think that could also play in a, you know, have an effect on how we see them or something like that. You know what I'm trying to say? So maybe if they don't have such a big role, they ain't such a big name, they're not really getting the best makeup job. And maybe they maybe they look a little darker than maybe they are. Or maybe they don't get the lighting or whatever. And you don't actually get
the picture. I mean, even if they are dark, so what?
Well,
even if they are dark. I mean, Viola Davis, she looks pretty good to me. I seen it in one movie, she looked pretty, really good. You know what I'm saying?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe some people who we thought were brown skinned, maybe they're not as brown as we thought they were, because they weren't getting that kind of special attention at first. When you can actually see their complexion, they're just throwing the stuff on them. You know, their lighting doesn't matter because they're insignificant. But once they become, you know, such a big name, then they get better attention, better lighting.
Right.
Then you can see, actually, they're not actually that brown after all. They're kind of light.
Right. Right. Okay, well, you know, I'm saying my question is, what happened to Black is Beautiful? Did we fall that far from that? Was that a fleeting thing right there? Black is Beautiful. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You know what I mean? Black power. Or did we just... Was that just a fad? Like a, you know what I mean? Like bell-bottom pants? And was that a fad?
Yeah, I think we started reneging on that concept when they started coming out with the Jerry Curl and stuff like that. We started kind of letting that go by the wayside. Everybody wanted curly hair and moved on to like accessorized hair and weaving and wigging and, you know, all that stuff right there, wearing other people's hair from all the way around the other side of the world.
That's interesting since you mentioned that.
Rather than show our hair.
Right. So why aren't like Afro puffs or Afro wigs, why aren't they popular? That's a good question. I'm just throwing a question out there to people that may be listening. Like, how come things that are, you know, associated with, you know, black people in terms of hair and, you know, our attributes, why isn't that popular? And, you know, I think I did a show on the hair thing, and like, you know, that's a billion-dollar industry right there, selling hair. How come nobody wants black hair? You know, nobody wants to wear a fro, a big Angela Davis fro. Why not?
I don't know.
Black is beautiful, but that's interesting. You know, I don't know if you heard of the Clark doll experiment. Anybody might have heard this thing where they had these dolls, they had these black kids. And they asked him which doll was pretty, which doll looked like them, which one you want to play with, the good doll, the bad doll.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, they said basically, they questioned these children, right? And they said 44% of the black children chose a white doll as being a doll that looked like them. Now, you got to really, something's wrong with that picture. Now, if they had chosen a doll they like, okay, you know what I'm saying? That's different. Oh, you like the white doll, okay, because, hey, ain't you like a white doll, you know, you like the black doll, you like the white doll. It's not too many black dolls anyway, right? So we get kind of acclimated to choose it from the selection that we have, right? So, and I'm not making excuses, but I'm just saying, but these These kids said the white doll looked like them. How? That's impossible. It's not impossible for them to think that, but they said the two, they chose the doll as being the doll that looked like them. The white doll.
Did they say it looked like them, or what they prefer to look like?
Look like them, which is an indication of what they may prefer to look like, which is what they're saying, you know, because it's like, so if they can, they are, you know, projecting their image on a white doll.
Mm.
So they, you know, it's kind of like saying they want to look like that. They prefer to look that way. You know, saying it's a projection of their own image because they see themselves, you know, white, blonde hair, or whatever, you know, the dark blue eyes, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying anything wrong with born and, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. All I'm saying is that we ain't. You, if you aren't, you white, you got blonde hair, blue eyes, love yourself. You know what I'm saying? But if you black and you look in the mirror, don't look for a blonde hair, blue eye, or pale skin person. You should not be looking for that. But if the children, yeah, there are children that were doing that, not in the mirror, with dolls. So that's the impact that this colorism and slavery has had on the black community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty serious because you got children that grow up to be adults. So how much of that stays with them? Because, I mean, you can unlearn some things as you get a little older. But how much of that stays with a person in terms of wanting to be white, favoring white, thinking white is better than, you know, than you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you white, you should be all right with being white. You know what I'm saying? But if you black, you should be all right with being black. That's who you are. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have a serious problem right there. That's an indication that there's a problem in our community. You know, that thing with Steph Curry, that says we still have a problem in our community with who we are and our own difference, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a problem. We have another caller. I mean, let this caller 19042. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello? Do you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, do you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I saw those comparison-type programs. Every few years they do that. I think the last one I've seen, I think the dolls were almost the same for their features, but it did different colors from very light white to dark. And unfortunately, the black child, the dark-skinned black child, always said the dark skin, they said, who's bad and who's good? And they pointed to the black skin doll, which looks the same as the white, just the coloring. It's bad.
Right.
And the lighter skin one or white was good. And that was like recently they showed that. I think the problem starts at the home when the parent themselves discriminate against the coloring of the children. They put more emphasis and more time in on that light skin. Because I've seen families, and I'm sure others have, they have three different color types in their family, light, brown, and dark. And they quickly to say to the dark-skinned kid, unfortunately, you'll never be nothing like your father. So their self-esteem built up starts at the childhood level, and what they see on TV on a regular basis over the years, even though some of the commercials in the last 10 years have featured more black, whatnot, but not necessarily dark-skinned black. So what they see on TV, what they read, parents need to be getting kids, for particularly girls, they need to be buying black dolls, which are hard to find, and they don't necessarily be as beautiful as some, you know, the whiter dolls. They don't take time out to make them beautiful. So the parents, on a regular basis, their dark skin or whatever skin color, got to build their children up when they 1, 2, 3, 4. They got to speak those words in their life.
Right.
Let them know the real world as they get older. Because discrimination will be here to the end of time. But it can get better among ourselves. Nobody make us do that to our children. Because I have a grandson who's dark-skinned, and his sister is almost light-skinned, whatnot. But he's loved and cherished and told he's handsome on a regular basis, like we tell her. Give your
right.
children equal love. Give your children equal care at a young age, before they say 7 or 8. They should be built up in their individuality and told on a regular basis that they're handsome, good looking if they're a boy, and a little girl should be told she's a princess and pretty on a regular basis. And if you hear anything they say, they feel less important. You got to remind them that they are important and they will be somebody great. They will do great things. So we, as a people, had to do better at home. Start there first and put a shield on them so when they go out in the real world, as you get older, teenagers and so forth, they'll be so built up they can stand those negative things that they'll come across and will come across when they get older or go in the work world. It starts at home.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what she said.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, I mean, you can't depend on the media to raise your children. But, you know,
right.
So this thing is past kids. Is we have adults that perpetuate the idea of, you know, you have some, like they say, even some light-skinned people feel they're better. You know, so, you know, we got this thing going on. We got some, and apparently we got dark-skinned people feel they're better because in order for them to say, what's the boy, Steph Curry is weak, they got to say, because you're light-skinned, you're not better, we better. You saw, you know what I'm saying? And that might, I connected that to the slave system where the light-skinned slave or the son or daughter of the master or the captor was allowed to work in the house. That's easy work compared to out in that field, you know, from sun up to sundown, right? So you easy, you saw. So, you know, so maybe that thing just was handed down, you know, throughout the years, you know, we're not that far out of slavery, you know, so it's not far-fetched. That, you know, we held on to that because of certain privileges allowed for light-skinned people in terms of being able to succeed. It was a little easier for them, so they saw, I got to do it the hard way, you know, or I can't get it, I can't do it right now at all because of how I look. But you being light-skinned or you being almost like white or you even passing for white, you can get slipped through the cracks and you can make it. You can get somewhere. Because we live in that type of society, a racist society. So, you know, it's sad, but it's true. You know, apparently we have, you know, our own issues within our own community. Not only are we being, you know, hammered by people who are non African American descent. But we be hammering it ourselves. We're battling it out within ourselves. You know, they say a nation divided cannot stand. So we will never, you know, be as strong as we could be as long as we have this division. And we think that a person's skin color is making them better or worse. It may make them preferred to some people. You know what I'm saying? But that's no better than you like a red car. And, you know, I have two Cadillacs. There's a red one and a black one. And a white one. You like the red one. I like the black one. Somebody else like the, you know, the other color one. You know, that's just what you like. You know, it doesn't make sense. It's not better. It's for me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, skin color. If it did, like I said, if it was that important, if it was skin color, then we have, you know, Europeans are not the majority of the people on the planet. So it's skin color, you know what I'm saying? So it's not enough for them. It's skin color did something that would be best at everything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then seems that you're good at what you do. You know what I'm saying? You got some good European basketball players. You know what I'm saying? You got some black basketball players that can play also. You know what I'm saying? So I can't play basketball at all. You know? So, you know, that type of thing. So my skin didn't make me a basketball player. You know what I'm saying? My skin color made me good at playing basketball. You know? You're good at whatever you are good at and whatever you work towards being good at that you like or you choose to you know, indulge in. You become good at it. So.
This is
2000. Right. Well, we got a long way to go, apparently.
Got a long way to go. We doing.
Yeah, we got a long way
doing
to go.
Better than some and not as good as others.
Right. Yeah, let me say, like, but you know, there are dark skinned people that made it in Hollywood. We have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Hey, how you doing, Carlton?
Kenny Jones, what's going on, brothers?
Hey, man. Now, you know, you hanging out dirty laundry on the line, that we got skin color problems, man. Why are you doing that, man? You know, people be listening to us.
Yeah, hey, you know what? It's all right. People know it.
That's one of those family secrets. We got to keep a secret, whatnot. But
hey, this ain't no secret.
I'm a dark brother, a very dark brother, and I know for a fact it has been told to me one time that because of my skin color I can't get a promotion, that I look too threat.
To what?
Yeah.
Too threatening?
I'm going to quote her now. You are a black, you are a threatening looking black man. Unquote.
I'm afraid of you.
Yes. And so, you know, like, I thought we overcame that. But, you know, a lot of Hollywood-type celebrities, they start to lighten their skins. In fact, Carlton, you got makeup out here that these women are putting on their face, make them look lighter than what they are. So
well,
I guess on that note, okay, how Red Fox said, light, bright, damn near white. So Red Fox, that used to be a comedian, big time, you know, right before Richard Pryor.
Right. Sanford and
Son. Yeah, that was one of his famous lines, light, bright, damn near white. And I hope in 2018 we have overcome that because, you know, like you said before, Huey Newton, Malcolm, Adam Clayton Powell, a lot of light-skinned, I guess, have to really fight to say, I am a black at my skin color. Listen to what I say. Look at my actions. My actions speak louder than words and whatnot. And you got famous black men like Marcus Garvey and Martin Luther King and Elijah Muhammad. No, Muhammad Ali was a light-skinned man.
Right.
In fact, they say this on a documentary with Kings of Kings, the Africans in Zaire were against George Foreman, and George Foreman was the darker man, but supported Muhammad Ali, and he was a lighter man. And everybody thought
right.
they were in support of George Foreman. But, you know,
right.
George Foreman wasn't an activist, and Muhammad Ali was a worldwide thing, even at that time.
Right.
So,
right.
Even in politics, you know, if your features are more traditional, I should say, you know, you have a more chance. So look at Barack. You think Barack Obama, if he would have been darker, do you think he would have got elected president? No.
Hey.
No. No. Because they
he would have been more, he would have been a threat,
well,
right?
Because he, in the eyes of the world, since tradition media been out, in the eyes of the world, we represent the boogeyman. And I want to say this. They still try to make us they're still trying to make us out the boogeyman in the NFL where they had the domestic violence problems in the NFL. They made the black face, the face of domestic
face
violence. And look at them now. Look at it now in the white, I want to say, in the White House.
In the White House.
I mean, they got pictures, man. And you know what? And this guy supports them. And General Kelly, Chief of Staff, supports these two guys are beating up the women. And look, who most of the guys are bringing up on sexual assault and rape? The white guys. And you know, but they make us, the black face, the black man, as the boogeyman. You remember Malcolm X and Denzel Washington, and he was in prison, and they said he had him read the Western Dictionary, white, purity, black, the devil.
Right. Western concept.
It's just, huh?
Western concept.
Yes. And to me, it's a form of brainwashing. You know, and that's why, another movie, Eyes on Me, about Tupac, and his mom came through to meet his new girlfriend, who was Quincy Jones' daughter. And know what the first thing she said? She got a white mother. She got a white mother. So it's not only the skin color, the features and everything. And you know, you got sisters now getting plastic surgery, skinning their nose like white women and high cheekbones. Be proud of your features, you know. And you got white women want to pat their butts and thicken their lips. Hey, they're trying to copy us too. So I don't know.
All right.
Crazy world we're living in today, but yeah.
It sure is. Hey, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I got to ask you a question. So is the whole thing about I'm black and I'm proud. Was that a fad for us? That was just a passing fad?
I believe that it never went away. It just is not voiced. Because when we say I'm black and I'm proud, and when we say black people, other cultures look at us in a fearful manner. But they don't understand the words. What we're saying. See, look, back in the 30s and the 40s, when we were processing our hair, trying to marry white women or try to marry light-skinned women to be like the dominant culture and power and what have you, and there were Elijah Muhammad and other cats like that came out, where you at? Be proud of your kinky hair. Be proud of your dark skin. Be proud of the wide nose and the thick lips. Be proud. You are a powerful people. You know, Marcus Garvey, straighten up your back and look in the mirror and be a proud black man. You know, so that was some more of like a, what you need, like a gut shot to wake you up?
10 seconds, Kenny. 10 seconds.
Huh?
10 seconds.
Hey, be proud of who you are.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all I got to say. Good show, Carl. Man, but stop hanging out on Dirty Laundry, man. Have a good night.
It's Black History Month, man.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Thanks for calling. Everybody, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week on Provocative Thought. PT. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.